listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek, with WacoBusinessNews.com, and I'm so excited to share another inspiring story with you this morning. In her role as the Director of Marketing at Chick-fil-A Baylor, Blair Brooks interacts with thousands of people every week and has gleaned a ton of insight on how teamwork and selflessness can propel companies to greatness. A childhood battle with cancer helped shape Blair into the fearless servant leader she's become today. The Wacoan magazine recently published their 63 Reasons to Love Waco, and Blair at Chick-fil-A was one of them, which is no surprise to anyone who's ever met her. But before we jump into that conversation, it's the word on the street. When City Councilman Dylan Meek visited Downtown Depot earlier this year, he mentioned that his company, Rydell Real Estate, was making a concentrated play on the near downtown area between 18th and 25th and Franklin and Columbus. Rydell purchased a building at 2223 Austin Avenue for their corporate offices and have now leased part of it to Pinewood Coffee Bar. Founders J.D. Beard and Dylan Washington began roasting beans in McGregor 3 years ago and then opened a shared retail space inside Alpha Omega before transitioning into their own shop, which opened 2 weeks ago. Chris Wernette is the general manager of Pinewood Coffee Bar.
The receptions have been fantastic. We've almost had to sometimes just hang on for dear life and just kind of, you know, work through a crowd that comes in. So it's been a lot of fun, especially seeing, you know, returning faces from when we were at our former location, coming back in here and like getting to see them and see what they've been up to. And then also seeing new faces. There's a lot of people that we've seen that really this is their first specialty coffee experience, which is really neat.
Wernette said that their location brings in a lot of locals from Castle Heights, Sanger Heights, and downtown. And while their location has changed, the Pinewood style remains the same.
Our philosophy has always been that our quality, like a quality product, is absolutely nothing without quality service and personable service and excellent hospitality. And so that's kind of our thing, is we want our excellent product to be really an afterthought of excellent service here.
Pinewood hopes to become a community hub for Waco and will use their patio, which features beautiful woodwork by E2 Creative, as an outdoor concert venue. You can hear the band Lo Melda perform tonight at 7:30. Last episode, I discussed Nancy Grayson's cottage project on Tyler Street and the demise of her short-term rental idea that would have fronted Elm Avenue. Just shortly after we spoke, Nancy went public about her latest venture, Elm Avenue Food Market, a nonprofit store that will sell fresh fruits and vegetables, milk, cheese, and eggs, the healthy staples for which East Wacoans currently have to drive to HEB or simply live without. J.B. Smith of the Waco Trib wrote a wonderful article about the food market and also included quotes from another Downtown Depot guest, Dr. Marlene Reed, who's the entrepreneur in residence at the Baylor Business School and whose students have worked in tandem with Nancy to get the nonprofit off the ground. I analyzed JB's article and also covered the grand opening of Urban Reap, a sustainability project headed up by Mission Waco. You can read both of those pieces right now on WacoBusinessNews.com. You've seen her before when making your chicken and waffle fry runs, and now she's in the KWBU studio with me. Blair Brooks, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is a joy to have you, and you and I have known each other for a few years now,
yeah.
And it's really fun that we're in Waco professionally and getting to know each other that way. Tell me a little bit about what brought you to Waco.
Oh, great question. Ultimately, Chick-fil-A. So I'm the director of marketing for Chick-fil-A Baylor University. It's right across 35 from Baylor. And the timing of it, so we knew each other in Austin, and then I was transitioning career-wise and got the job with Chick-fil-A and moved up here right before we grand opened, and that's how we reconnected here in Waco.
Because Julia and I were camping outside of the Chick-fil-A trying to get free Chick-fil-A for a year, and you were there.
First 100.
I think that's one of the funniest things about Chick-fil-A is that first 100 people, whenever there's a new franchise that opens up, they get Chick-fil-A for an entire year.
Which is awesome. And the one that we did that y'all were at, since y'all were just moving here, it was a local one, so you had to be within a certain zip code. And so that was the most fun for me, especially starting out, and we're opening this store. You're guaranteed 100 regulars, right? So it's like these people that were there from the beginning, and then we just got to like establish our relationship and your regular eating at Chick-fil-A.
It's so interesting when thinking about how to market a business.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, from Chick-fil-A's perspective, yes, they're going to lose out the money that they would have made from, you know, a number one meal every day for a year, or mm-hmm. every once a week for a year,
uh-huh.
rather.
Sure.
But you're right. You get customers for life that way. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that has been one of the Chick-fil-A mantras really since day one, is find what makes the customer happy and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I think one of the things that I love the most is it's, as much as we're selling the food, we're building the relationships with our community. And so offering you a craveable product and something that you enjoy having, but also getting to be part of the community together, whether that's including Chick-fil-A or just personally as well.
So what lured you to Chick-fil-A? I came to Waco from Austin because I got married and wanted to start a business, but it must have been a pretty attractive offer for you to leave your life in Austin where you'd already mm-hmm. been established and come back here where you had been in school.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was a great just transition period for me personally. A little like career history right after college. I went into ministry full time and then quickly like kind of 180 flipped from that into business. And I worked in government contracting a little bit, which is really opposite of ministry sometimes, of vocational ministry, I'll say that. And so I got the two extremes and I was looking for something in the middle. And I think Chick-fil-A and specifically my position, like marketing, has been a great balance of that. I get such great business exposure and opportunity, and I've learned a ton through, you know, these last 3 years with them. And I also get a lot of people exposure. So I get to see every day being in the restaurant, getting to see people, know our neighbors, know people that work around us or live around us. And so that's been a great balance for me. What drew me to that specifically from Austin. So I had previously got a taste of Chick-fil-A in Florida when I lived there for a short time. But it was like a brief introduction to their brand. And it was really cool to see just the company in general and the way they do things a little differently and just how well established they are and the work they do, one, through chicken, but then also that kind of can bleed out into life and community.
So hone in on that when you talk about the way that Chick-fil-A does things differently. What mm-hmm. are some examples of that?
Sure. So I think, you know, when you look at the franchise model itself is a little different than a typical franchising opportunity. And I don't have all the specific details, but I think what I respect a ton is that it's not an investor-based franchise. It's the owner-operator is like active in the community. So they live in the community, they're in the restaurants working with the team and stuff. And so they're not this imaginary figure that's out there, but they're doing it. But that also gives them a lot of opportunity to personalize it to their store. So our store specifically, being right by Baylor, reaches a ton of college kids and downtown businesses and stuff like that. Whereas even across Waco, the Franklin Avenue store does a great job reaching families and other, just even a different demographic, only 3 miles apart from each other. So we get to, as much as we are one brand and do things together, we get to specialize in our own areas as well.
We're talking with Blair Brooks. Blair was recently named, what number was it? 44 of the 63 reasons to love Waco, Blair at Chick-fil-A.
Blair at Chick-fil-A.
It's been amazing. You've only been here for a couple years, but you've made your mark enough that people, even outside of the context of Chick-fil-A, recognize you as Blair at Chick-fil-A.
It is funny to run into people outside of Chick-fil-A, like kind of in the real world, or it's like Blair in the wild. And they're like, oh, I've literally had people. I was at Barnes & Noble, and they're like, hey, Chick-fil-A. And I was like, hey, what's up? Yeah, honestly, that was so, so kind and just an honor to have that. And so fun. Again, I really do, the biggest part about my job that I love is the people and getting to interact with so many different people. And it's stuff that I, like interactions that I never would have expected to have, like different maybe departments, even like like Baylor specifically, right? You have a ton of different departments that might never cross paths with each other. But it's so funny, chicken can bring people together. So a lot of people can cross paths at Chick-fil-A.
When you took the job, this was the fall of 2014. Mm-hmm. What were you expecting it to be? And now that you've been doing it for a bit, what have been the big takeaways?
That is such a great question that I don't even know that I've processed myself. I probably came into it very wide-eyed and not even knowing what to expect or what it was. Again, I had this taste of Chick-fil-A and knowing what a good company and kind of culture that they can create in a community. And I think I've got to see that played out more than I could have ever expected. So I think Waco has a lot to do with that as well, though, just because where we're at in the evolution of Waco, if you will, I think is a really crucial time point with our growth and things like that. But it's also, we're a city, but we're still a small town. And so there's been a lot of opportunity to see that happen and get to interact in that way, where I can know people from Chick-fil-A and see them, you know, at a Baylor game or at the grocery store or wherever, you know, like it's a small enough town that it's not just overrun, that you can't still interact and live the day-to-day with the same people over and over. So, yeah, there's so many things I learned. I don't know if I could just pinpoint the highlights, but I do think it's a fun – I mean, I enjoy it.
And a great thing about your position is that you're interacting with so many customers on mm-hmm. a daily basis, and not just people – who come into the store, but with all the catering that you guys do, mm-hmm. you're bringing boxed lunches to some of the biggest businesses all around Waco, and you're getting to interface with them. I know that we've had conversations about mentorship that you've gotten from David Sikora, mm-hmm. who owns and manages the Chick-fil-A there at Baylor. Mm-hmm. But what a terrific opportunity for you to get to cull information from so many different sources just because you're interfacing with hundreds of people every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take me back to before college, before you were at Baylor.
Okay.
I want to hear a little bit about you growing up because you had a rural background. Is that correct? I know your parents currently are mm-hmm. farming, your brother's into farming, but uh-huh. what was Blair at, say, age 5? What was Blair like?
Oh, so funny. So not too rural. We grew up in Round Rock, just north of Austin, but pre-Round Rock being its own, like, well-established. There was no outlet mall, no IKEA, all of that. My dad was actually in the military. But by the time – I'm the third of 4 kids. So by the time I came around, he was kind of already established. I didn't have that typical, military kid move around kind of thing. We got to – honestly, we're very fortunate to stay in the Austin area growing up. I don't know. What do you want to know? I don't know, 5-year-old Blair, probably still as spunky as I am now.
I mean, to me, you are an incredibly strong servant leader. Mm. That's what, when I go into Chick-fil-A, that's what I see. I see someone who is fabulously talented at not only managing the chaos of having 20 or 30 employees at once in the middle of a lunch rush, but having the ability to sort of turn that off and turn on the one-on-one focus when there's a customer who has an issue with their order. Mm. You really do have a talent for making people feel special. Mm. And I wonder if that's something that you saw exhibited growing up or if that's something that you just have sort of picked up on the job.
Gosh, that's a great question. Well, thanks. That's always great to hear and know that that's my heart. And so if it's actually playing out, then I'm achieving something.
Sure. I mean, the servant leadership at that Chick-fil-A, and that starts with David, goes down to you and to mm-hmm. all the other team members. Mm-hmm. It's different than other Chick-fil-A's that I've been to. I've mm-hmm. spent a lot of time at Chick-fil-A. I'm that crazy person who goes and camps out trying to get free food.
That's right.
And there really is a flair at Chick-fil-A Baylor that I haven't experienced at any others. And it comes from the leadership, and it's mm-hmm. that servant heart that you all operate with.
Mm. And I mean, it's easy to be a part of a team like that, you know? So did I get it growing up? I don't know. I think there's a lot of different life experiences that probably play into that and honing it. And I think ironically is something that I still intentionally try to develop. So just, again, being in Waco and right by Baylor and having those connections, I'm auditing a leadership class at Baylor right now. So that's been really fun to kind of hit the refresh button on what does servant leadership look like? Am I being able to implement that at Chick-fil-A right now? And how do I want to hone that in the future kind of thing? I don't know that there are any specific things from my childhood that I can pinpoint it to. I mean, I have great parents. I have a great, really supportive family, and I've had great opportunity through that. I went to Baylor, spent a lot of time in youth ministry and, you know, working at Christian camps and stuff like that. And I think through those opportunities, that's something that's really easy to pinpoint or kind of reinforce in those areas. So I think taking that, but then also, I mean, seeing just in life experience, right? So I've graduated Baylor, gosh, like 10 years ago. Not 10, that's too many. Woo, I aged myself more than I am. 7 years ago. So I went into Baylor 10 years ago. But I think even since then, like, look at all the, like, what have you done since college, right? So I've moved around a couple of places, lived in Missouri, lived in Florida, back in Austin. And when you have those different exposures to different things, you kind of see, oh, cool, I had this experience. I really value this about it. Or, hey, maybe that wasn't my favorite thing. And I think I now realize why I value a certain type of leadership or service, even customer service. Like, I've got to work with some Magnolia people, and as we kind of talk, being like two blocks from each other, like, how are we serving, especially these travelers that are coming into Waco and showing them Waco, but also really maintaining and loving on our locals as well. Like, what culture are we creating there? And they do a good job of honing that as much as we continue to talk about what that looks like. And so in those talks, that's really made me, like, open my eyes to how are we serving? What are we intentionally doing? Because there are parts of it that are, it's natural and it's a gifting or a personality, but it also takes intentional effort to do that as well.
Well, there's nothing quite like a life and death experience to teach us what really matters in life.
There it is. Okay.
And you have had a crazy road that's brought you here in Waco, Blair at Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
Can you talk a little bit about your journey and your experience with the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Absolutely. So, which is funny because it doesn't always come up all the time. So I love that you know that. I had cancer. I had lymphoma cancer. I was diagnosed at 12 years old and kind of went through that journey, did a year of chemotherapy and came out of that and have been in remission with that for however many years now. I literally think it's 17.
Wow.
That adds up to how old I am. Yep. There we are. Do the math. Yeah. So that has been a while and was a crazy experience. Like you said, I think there's so many things that I get to look back and I see such a spiritual relevance in and growing me in that, but also different opportunities, people coming together and, you know, specific organizations rallying around people going through hard life crisis like that. And so I did get a wish with Make-A-Wish and got to go to Disney World. Classic, right?
That was the big wish.
The big wish.
Wow.
I think at one point I had like tossed around the idea of like a Disney cruise, like best of both worlds, get a cruise, get some Disney. But they were so generous to include my whole family, and it just kind of worked out that Disney World was the best path. And it was so great. Like, I'll always have that memory, you know? And so they just really did. You get to go on this experience and kind of get taken out of your everyday reality that you're dealing with this illness, or kind of everything is such a big, not tragic, but sometimes tragic, you know, like sometimes stuff just happens and it's a medical reality that you can't control. Like, that was one thing that I had to deal with is I'm 12 and I can't do anything about the fact that I have like this disease in my body, mm-hmm. you know? And none of the healing from it necessarily came from my efforts or anything that I could do, or, you know, and I think it's one of those, like, I'm sure you've gone either walked through like someone, you know, had an illness or cancer specifically or anything like that. Like, it affects more than just the patient themselves. And so, you know, my parents, like, how do they care for a child dealing with that? And again, something they can't necessarily control. They just have to like give me the medicine and support me through it, kind of thing. And so, but specifically the Make-A-Wish just kind of removed us from that day-to-day reality of, hey, you're sick and you're in bed, and really gives you this experience and opportunity to live through it and experience all that joy of Disney and everything it has to offer.
The magical world.
It was.
Are there any direct lines that you can draw from that experience of being diagnosed at 12, 13 mm-hmm. to today? You know, like character building, the way that I learned how to deal with adversity, or the way that I saw my parents dealing with conflict, and that's changed the way that I view relationships. What what sort of takeaways when thinking back, you know, 17 years ago, come up for you now?
Gosh, that's a great question. Probably stuff I'm still like processing through and figuring out. I think for me specifically, like as a 13-year-old girl, I think one of my biggest issues was like I just wanted to be normal. And I love that people cared so much. You know, you see someone going through something and you care. But I also like desperately wanted to be normal, that I was like, oh, don't give me extra attention because I'm sick or the cancer kid or whatever. So, I mean, processing through that, you really see people's heart and generosity as they walk alongside you in life. And those, again, those instances that are out of your control, though, right? So you're just kind of dealing with it, whether you, like, pull up your bootstraps and grit your teeth and get through it, or however that happens. We had a great community in Austin that surrounded us in all facets of it, surrounded me and just supporting me in it, but also walking alongside my parents through it and taking care of my siblings. You know, that's one reality of that season of life, is that when my parents have to focus a ton of attention on me, it's not that they ignore my siblings, but like it takes a halt to, hey, you have to go to band practice and you have to go to swim team and you have to go to whatever kind of thing. And so really having neighbors and community that just pick up, not the slack, but just do it alongside us and make it happen, kind of thing. And so I think that's one thing that I value now. Like, I hope I'm that kind of neighbor or that kind of friend, that whether it's a crisis or not, whether it's just real life, like, how do we, even as friends, we live downtown from each other, or in our work or whatever, like, how are we supporting each other in it and walking alongside each other through it, kind of thing?
Well, that's something that we're all needing to do as Texans right now, with Hurricane Harvey having devastated so much of the Texas coast. And you're right, Blair, it's hard to know how to help when it's something that is so personal. And you don't want to be patronizing. You don't want to point out, hey, you are the kid with cancer.
Right.
But also, like, you're the kid with cancer, and it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And we need to be aware of the ways that we can help. And it's so difficult as a 13-year-old when, like you said, all you want to do is be normal. It just breaks my heart to think about young Blair, but it's so redemptive to see the beautiful, talented woman that you've become. Let's get back to Chick-fil-A a little bit. So this fall with Chick-fil-A, it's always crazy. You've got Chick-fil-A in McLean Stadium. You've got, of course, Baylor Chick-fil-A that's always lit. What's on the docket for you guys this fall?
A few things. One of the most exciting being the Unbound Chick-fil-A Light Up the Dark 5K that we're partnering with other local businesses in town. Maybe Pokio specifically.
Maybe Pokio.
So that's in October, October 14th. It is a night 5K run. So again, it's your kind of glow in the dark, light up the night, bringing awareness to the fight against human trafficking, specifically in Waco and what we're doing in our town, but also across our state and the nation and the globe kind of thing.
And if you're a Downtown Depot listener who's not familiar with Unbound, educate yourself. Mm-hmm. The work of Natalie Garnett and mm-hmm. so many others who are working to eradicate sexual slavery mm-hmm. In Texas specifically. And mm-hmm. it's an issue that's here, and particularly in Waco. We saw this, you know, with the biker shootings a few years ago. Waco is so centrally located. It's one mm-hmm. of the greatest benefits of our town, but it's also very easy to be cross-trafficked between Dallas and Austin, these major metropolitan areas, and we have to be extra vigilant about what's traveling on our highways, and Unbound seeks to combat mm-hmm. against that.
Absolutely. Yep. So they're doing a great job, and we wanted to kind of walk alongside them and partner with them in their fundraising efforts, specifically through this event as kind of one of their big fundraisers for their organization. And I think it's been fun for me, even just as a business partner, to get to partner together and put on this 5K, like what I've learned of what they're doing as well. So I think that'll be a good payoff with the success of this upcoming 5K, to know what we're doing for our town and culture, I guess.
And football season, what are the plans for Chick-fil-A?
Woo! I mean, T-minus 4 days, what are we at? It's upon us.
Yeah, we got a game this weekend, and actually a game Friday night as well. Will you guys be there for the Sam Houston game?
You know, that's a great question. I literally just found out about it a couple hours ago. So I will have to, after this, go back and figure out what that looks like. Whether we're there Friday night or not for Sam Houston, we'll be at all six Baylor home games, and we actually have six different concession stands within McLean that will sell the original chicken sandwich at. So your favorite Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and no waffle fries. I know that's sometimes a heartbreak, but the reality of doing it outside of the store is that we can't always get those beloved waffle fries there.
If you're not going to have the quality of the store, I totally understand. You know, leave it to the side, focus on the sandwich. The sandwich uh-huh. is beautiful and perfect in its simplicity. Mm-hmm. The question that I want to know,
come on,
when are we getting spicy nuggets?
Oh, gosh, that is a great question.
This is just like when Apple came out with the iPhone. They had the first iPhone, and it didn't even have a camera on it. But we knew they had it up their sleeve the whole time. I know that you have spicy nuggets somewhere in that kitchen back there. When are we getting those?
We'll have to reach out to corporate on that one. That's a bigger decision than me. I don't hold all that power. But
you don't want to just text the Kathy family right now?
You know, wish I could.
Maybe right next to George Bush's number in your phone. I'm telling you, Blair's big time. If you're at Chick-fil-A, especially if you're by Waco, it's big time. So Downtown Depot listeners, swing by Chick-fil-A there on 7th Street. Say hi to Blair at Chick-fil-A. She has a last name. It's Brooks.
It's Brooks.
She also goes by Blair at Chick-fil-A. So stop by, tell her hi. And Blair, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and awesome. Sharing your story.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. So fun.
This episode marks 1 year of Downtown Depot here on KWBU. I'm so grateful for the opportunity from the station and from all our listeners across Central Texas. Thank you for tuning in and for participating with Waco Business News on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Your comments and curiosity drive me to do what I do, and I'm so excited to keep telling the tales of our town. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.